test one sugi yudbeis toldos ushim beregel. A. Spell out the machlok between Rashi and Rabbi Yochanan in the case of tinfa peros. Answer. Rashi maintains that tinfa peros lahanosa is an example of the animal rolling around like horses do, or donkeys rolling around in the peros, which would then go ahead and spoil the peros, ruin the peros. The reason why that is shame is because there is hana'a in that hezek, because it feels good. Feels good rolling around, and it cools up, it cools off. Rabbeinu Chananel, however, brought down both on the daf and the sheet of Gubetzes. He maintains that the case is where the animal unloads, let's say, a number two, we'll say, on the peros, and the hana'a is that it's relieving itself from its tsar, and therefore that would be an example of tinfa peros lahanosa, where the animal is receiving hana'a as it is unloading because it's relieving itself from the pain that it would have if it would hold it in. That is the machlokes between Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel. B. What two reasons are given by the Tosfos Shantz for rejecting the approach of Rabbeinu Chananel? So the Tosfos Shantz maintains that there are two reasons why one cannot go with the position of Rabbeinu Chananel, that tinfa peros lanasa is a case of the animal unloading on top of the peros. One is that the hana'a that the animal is receiving, it makes no difference as to whether or not the peros were there or the peros weren't there. He's receiving no hana'a from the peros, and therefore that would not be hana'a lehezeka, and therefore would not be the tolda of shame. His second reason is that this is not shame because this is considered tsroros of regel. These first two questions were fact questions, and the third question that we're going to be asking, question C, is also a fact question. We're up to question C. What two explanations does Rashi give here for why glolim is tsroros and not a tolda of shame? So the first explanation Rashi gives is because there is no hana'a when, at least in the Gemara there, on Yilchesem Adbeis, the reason why the glolim that the animal is unloading is not considered shame, but rather tsroros, is because there's no hana'a in the relieving of the animal, because the animal has shulshul. And the second explanation that Rashi gives is, even if one would go ahead and view all glolim as a hana'a activity of the animal, just from the fact that he's relieving himself, even if there was shulshul, it still would not be a tolda of shame, because this is tsroros. Shame is hezek of the goof. And if it's not hezek of the goof, but rather it's hezek of the koach of the animal, that is tsroros, and therefore it can't be shame, but rather it will be tsroros, which is tolda, as you know, of regel. Question D. Rashi clearly here is going with his second explanation, as he precedes it with venira be'enai. Explain why our Rashi on Gimel Avad Aleph has to be going with this second explanation as well, as otherwise he could have learned like Rabbeinu Chananel. The reason why Rashi, by us, on Gimel Lamed Aleph, has to be going with the second pshat, yeah, I'm giving the answer now, the second explanation later on, is because if Rashi, by us, actually held that the only reason why glolim is tsroros and not shein is because it's a case of shulshul, then all Rashi would have to say by us is that it's a regular case of glolim, and if it's a regular case of glolim, then even Rashi in his first pshat there, later on Yuches Amud Beis, would agree that it's tsroros. So Rashi could have given Rabbi Nachmanel's pshat that it's where the animal unloaded glolim on the peros, and that would be shein, provided that it wasn't shulshul. That, we said, was a fact question type 1b. Why? Because this was all implied. You had to do a little implication, but it's obviously just a fact question. It's not a lumdis question. We then move to question E. Tosfos Shatz gave two reasons for his rejection of Rabbeinu Chananel. Explain how it is clear that Rashi rejects Rabbeinu Chananel only for one of the reasons of the Tosfos Shatz. Meaning, show how Rashi actually sides with Rabbeinu Chananel that glolim, damaging peros, is viewed as the shame characteristic of Hana leHezekah. It is clear from Rashi on Yudches Amud Beis that one can view the case of glolim in theory as Hana leHezekah, as he says explicitly, that even if, Rashi says, even if glolim, and even if shilshul, was Hana leHezekah, Rashi says it would not be shein, not because it's not viewed as Hana leHezekah, but because it's roros. Meaning, Rashi is saying it is Hana leHezekah. In principle, it could be shein. The only reason why it's not shein is because, in the second pshat, he says, it's because once it's not the goof of the animal, but the koach of the animal, it is tsroros. Once it's tsroros, it can't be shein. Even in his first pshat, Rashi hold that glolim would be hana leHezekah. It's just the reason why it's not hana leHezekah is because it's shilshul. So obviously, Rashi does not agree with the Tosfos Shatz that the case of glolim is not hana leHezekah. He just agrees with the Tosfos Shatz that he can't learn like Rabbeinu Chananel, because it would be tsroros and not wad and not shein. That, again, was a fact question type 1b. And now we're coming to the lumdus. F. In our lumdusizing, i.e. analyzing the machlokas as to whether glolim has the quality of hana leHezekah, Tosfos Shatz on one side saying no, Rabbeinu Chananel and Rashi on the other side saying yes, we had two approaches in the position of Rabbeinu Chananel and Rashi. Formulate them below, and we noted that the position of Tosfos Shatz is the same in both. So, Tosfos Shatz, his position is that Hana leHezekah requires that there is Hana'a in the Maisa Hezek. There has to be Hana'a in the Maisa Hezek. And when an animal goes ahead and it unloads on the peros, there's no Hana'a in the Maisa Hezek itself. There's Hana'a in its relieving itself. The fact that the peros are there and are getting damaged is incidental. There is no Hana'a from the Maisa Hezek. That is the position of Tosfos Shatz. Rabbeinu Chananel and Rashi, so we have two approaches. Approach one is that Hana'a leHezekah is any Maisa Hezek that is fueled by Hana'a. And therefore, this Maisa Hezek of let's say, glolim, of where the animal is unloading on the peros, it is fueled by Hana. The Hana is to relieve itself, and that is fueling this Maisa Hezek. Not that there is a Hana in the Maisa Hezek, but it is being fueled by the Maisa Hezek. The second approach we gave was that Rabbeinu Chananel and Rashi argue until the Shatz, not that you need Hana in the Maisa Hezek, but all you do is need Hana in the Pulas HaHezek. And the Hana in the Pulas HaHezek is, what is the raw activity of the Hezek? That's the unloading. The Maisa Hezek is obviously the fact that the Glolim are now going ahead and traveling with its Koach to go ahead and damage the peiros. So there's no hana in the Maisa Hezek, but Rabbi Yochanan and Rashi do not require that. They only require this in approach two. They only require it in the Pulas Hezek. Explain why the first approach, while lundishly appealing, might be going too far. So Rav Nachi had pointed out, this is Rav Nachi's Taina, and there was a whole big give and take with Elimelech in the Bikiyas later on. But Rav Nachi pointed out that the first approach is going on a limb, and it's seemingly connected certain Rishonim. Elimelech pointed out the Meiri, although maybe one could learn it according to the Parshas HaGemara. But Rav Nachi said it's going too far, because if you say that the Pshat and Rabbi Yochanan and Rashi is that any Maisa Hezek fueled by Hana is going to be Hana Lazeka, so what would be in a case where an animal saw some food across a field and ran across the field and stomped on it, but clearly was going across the field to eat something across the field? That would be Shane, according to Rashi and Rabbi Yochanan, I don't know, according to this Pshat, and that indeed would be maybe a little too much of a Chiddush. Now, the last regular question of this Bechina, question G. Within Rashi, we saw two opinions as to whether Shulshul has the characteristic of a Nala Zeka. How are we mazbe this Machlokas? Note, the following four terms are for the most part synonymous when asking this type of question. Mazbir, lumdicize, formulate, and analyze. And obviously this is a lumdus question, once again. The previous question was a lumdus question. This is also a lumdus question. And the way we formulated it is that as follows. And we gave a mushal. We gave a mushal to Yom Ha'atzmaut. My Rebbe, when he touched up whether or not one takes a schnapps on Yom Ha'atzmaut, so the shaila is, again, we're talking about Yom Ha'atzmaut for a Haredi. Does he go ahead and take a schnapps? So the Haredi basically says like this, could say, hey, there is something to have a schnapps about, because look at all the amazing things that having the Medina has given us. On the other hand, the Medina has also, okay, wrought many, many bad things. Therefore, if you could go ahead and abstract it and just abstract the Hana, so then, and abstract the simcha that one should be getting from that aspect of the good that comes out of the Medina, so then, ain't a chinami, you have a schnapps. But if you can't abstract it, if you view it as one cheftza of the Medina, so then you can't say that I'm taking a schnapps for the Medina, because the Medina has within it, okay, good and bad. It's a conflicted time, and therefore one would not schnapps it. So to here, how do you view the shulshul? Do you say, it's one entity, chetzah, shulshul, that has conflicting, it has hana, and it has pain. And therefore, the pain, okay, basically counters any hana, and you can't view it as an activity of hana. If, however, you abstract it into there's the pain, and then there's the hana that one receives from relieving, that the animal receives from relieving itself, so then there is hana in the shulshul. That's how we would master it. Now, extra credit. What issue in Rashi, okay, needs analysis that we left for another time? That is the issue that we said when we do Tzroros later on in the second parak, we're going to have to get into the issue as to whether or not something could on one hand be Shein, right? This is what Rashi in his second shot says. He says, even if it has all the characteristics of Shein in the sense that it's Hanal Azeka, but the fact that it's not a hezek of the goof, but rather it's a hezek of the koach of tsroros, by definition, it can't be shein, because any koach of the animal, ipso facto, is going to be tsroros. Now, the reason why we can't really handle this is because it's not really so simple. There's tremendous sugyas on this later on in the second perek regarding tsroros of Karen, possibly tsroros of shein as well, in the different Rishonim. So we'll have to go ahead and we'll have to see how this all pans out when we get to Amir Tz Hashem, Ketzad HaRegel.